Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
John, what was your reaction? John McClain sits down with us for his weekly visit out here at Little Woodrose and Katy. What was your reaction to the reaction that the Texans and Bill O'Brien specifically had relative to Tom Savage getting concussed in the game on Sunday, where there were actually people out there? Were you surprised that Bill O'Brien took any criticism in that whole handling of that situation with Savage?
No, I wasn't surprised because people don't understand the concussion protocol and what happens on the sideline. And hopefully after it was explained to everybody, people will understand. You know, you're coaching a game and you're making calls. You trust your people. If the trainer or doctor comes up, says we're checking Savage for a concussion in the tent, okay, get Yates warming up. Then they come back, he passed the test, okay, he's playing. You know, you don't look at video, you don't have video on the sideline. You're not looking up at the screen. You're thinking about coaching. And we asked Bill about it after the game, and then the next day he came in and started off with a long explanation. And I asked Rick Smith yesterday on the segment I do with he and Mark Vandermeer, he's on the competition committee. They've tweaked the concussion protocol, I believe, five times. I think it will be tweaked again. And the Savage deal and Russell Wilson were totally different. Russell ran in the tent. They didn't zip it. And you saw he didn't do anything but run in and run out.
Ran back out.
That is a clear violation.
Yeah.
In this case, as T.J. Yates told us, the referee's standing over him. You ought to be the referee say, hey, this guy hit his head.
Yeah.
And what he had is called a fencing response.
Yeah.
If you look up fencing response, you twitch for a couple of seconds.
It's a convulsion.
And then it can go away. You can have delayed symptoms on a concussion. And I thought Aaron Wilson did great with experts this week in a story he did about how you can detect a concussion right away. It might be minutes later. It might be hours later. It's like TJ said, no two concussions are the same, and they can't be treated that way. And he had one that ended up getting cut from Buffalo. So I'm sure that Savage and Wilson and Jacoby Brissett will be looked at by the competition committee in March, and they will make suggestions to the owners. And one of the things they could do is have more spotters. They could have another independent neurologist. They could have everybody having the feed that they get on TV, which they should have had to begin with, and get them out.
John,
and then there's talk, take them straight off the field, not to the tent, but there's a lot of quarterbacks. You know, Tom Brady ain't leaving the field for 11 minutes or whatever. But they're going to tweak it, and I don't have a clue what they'll do.
John, Rick said, if I'm not mistaken, to you guys last night, that there have been roughly 500 players in the concussion protocol in the NFL.
I think that have been checked for concussions.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That have been checked
this year
for concussions.
And it's by far
year.
More. Hell, the Texans got to lead the league with all the guys they've had.
That's a third
out
of the league.
That's almost 10
concussions.
Full teams.
Yeah.
Right? That's
and
almost
they
10
are
full
overly
teams.
Cautious as they should be.
Well, I guess, John, the reason that number struck me the way it did was, yeah, that means there's oversight and that they are on the lookout for this type of stuff. But that's a huge number of, you know, a percentage of all the players in the league that have been checked for concussions.
It's a violent game.
It's also quite the indication of what a widespread issue this is.
Well, anytime somebody hits his head, they take him out to look at him.
Wow.
Ted, imagine how many times you'd have been under the tent.
Yeah, well, I
would you,
know,
you would have had,
I'm not sure.
You would have changed the way you played knowing this, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't know if I could have played, John, because I don't think I could. To change my style of play would maybe force me out of the game because my style was was such a distinct style and is what kept me in the
Which
game.
Which was to hit him in the head with your head.
Yeah. Head. Your head was a big part of your game.
What's the terminology again?
Ted the head, cement head Ted. You know,
Stun and separate.
That's what I meant. Oh, stun and separate.
Stun and separate.
Cement head Ted. Meaning, I've never heard you use that.
Yeah.
Stun and separate, which meaning deal a blow enough where a guy is just going to be loopy.
Yeah. No, it was a technique that we learned. I learned in college from my linebacker coach who played behind Mike Singletary, Brian Cabral, for 9 years. And it was literally how I survived as long as I did. I was very good at getting off of blocks, disengaging from blocks. Because of this one technique, it's the reason I played 10 years in the NFL. It's called stun and separate, where I lead with the butt of my forehead into a blocker, and I drop my helmet right under his chin. So the first thing I hit is with the crown of my helmet under his chin, and then I put my hands into his chest and roll my hips through, and that's what stuns him, is my helmet going under his chin, his head snaps back, and then I separate with my arms, and then I can disengage and make plays.
You'd be kicked out of every game you played in.
You know what? No, it's you see it every it's not an illegal movement. It's a technique that is still taught. It's survival.
But they're so sensitive about getting under that chin like that these days.
Yeah, but I do it so fast. I mean, if you watch my technique, you have to slow it down frame by frame to see exactly what I'm talking
about.
And
it's happening probably in that clutter of humanity where they're not looking for that stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
it's one
thing, you come hit a quarterback under the chin. Right for everybody to see.
I'll say this. You would have adjusted. You were talented enough.
You're probably
physical enough, mean enough. You would have adjusted.
I probably would have.
You do some radio up in Nashville.
3 times a week.
What's the concern level up in Nashville about the way this team's playing right now?
I think I told y'all before the Texans played up there, the friends I was with the day before, probably about 20, said you're going to be amazed at how bad the attendance is. And I was. And they had won like 5 of 6. They were in first place. And people just didn't believe in them. They thought they were kind of an accident waiting to happen. Then they beat the Texans right at the end, even though they were only missing one starter going into that game. And then offense was awful at Arizona. Mariota, more interceptions than touchdowns, 3 injuries. Their offensive line's not playing anywhere like last year, and they can't run the ball consistently. You know, you take away that 75-yard run by Derrick Henry at the end, and their stats were terrible.
Yep.
And I think they're going to lose the 49ers. Do y'all?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah,
we all do.
Yep. Yeah. That line has moved 6 points since the beginning of the week.
Where's the game in? Is it San Francisco?
Yeah.
It's in San Francisco.
Then definitely, yes.
I wonder if the fans will come out, because their attendance has been awful this year. If they will come out to see them now that they've won 2 in a row with Garoppolo as a starter, because it's his first start at home, or if they'll take more convincing. But I asked up there today, what if the Titans lose out? I said, I think they'll lose this one. I think they're going to lose to Jacksonville in Nashville in the last game, and they go 8-8. Would they fire Mike McCarthy? Yeah. Would they make changes on the staff? Because people would be in a panic.
Yeah. When they were 8-4, I said they were the worst 8-4 team I'd ever seen.
Is Mike Mularkey long for that job?
If they don't make the play, now, Amy Adams-Strunk, who lives here, she's the controlling owner, and I know she likes and respects it, but I don't know. Amy has not been tasked with this situation. And John Robinson will be going into his 3rd year. It's not many general managers come in, and by the 3rd year, they don't get to pick their coach. Mm-hmm. But if they get in the playoffs, everything's fine. But that would be a humongous collapse if they go from 8-4 to 8-8.
Are people worried about Marcus Mariota's future?
Yes, they're worried.
If he's the one, or is it they feel like maybe? Because I'll contend that maybe coaching. You saw what happened with guys like Jared Goff this year, Case Keenum under different coaching. Are people already writing them off a little bit, Marcus Mariota?
They thought today if they collapse that he'll have to bring in a new offensive coach.
Huh.
The Mariota, they say he's having problems with the fibula that had surgery last year, with a hamstring he tore here early in the season, and then he sprained his knee last week. And they say it's clear that he's not healthy when he throws. That's just like anybody watch Brady. I see all these – Nick, I can't remember who it was. Is this the beginning of the end for Brady after one bad game? Because he's got an Achilles injury and he can't plant and throw the way he usually does. He clearly was not good because he was hurt, not because he was 40.
Yeah.
People are just waiting to write that story so bad.
And think of how long they've been writing it.
I know.
Remember when they got killed at Kansas City to start a season?
Yeah, 2014.
And all the stories, Brady's done, yeah. Belichick's done. 1 year, and I think you were there, y'all lost to Buffalo to start, got killed, started
0-2.
Brady's done, make changes, and then y'all won Super Bowl.
Brady's done, he was 25. Yeah.
We lost to Buffalo Bills the first
He's
game.
He's overrated. Played Bledsoe. Yeah.
We played him week one. We lost to him 31-0. We played him the very last game of the season at our place. We beat them 31-0 and then went on to win the Super Bowl.
John, on Mariota, we played some audio on the show yesterday of him apologizing to the local
mama.
Nashville media that apparently his mother had called him out for being rude to them. I don't mean to come off as a caveman, but that's a weak look for an NFL quarterback.
You think?
Yes, I do.
You're a caveman.
Come on.
Caveman.
Seriously?
I thought it was so unusual, and knowing the kind of guy they say he is, a genuinely nice, caring, quiet guy, that they could see his mom in Hawaii tell him that.
But do you want your quarterback to be a nice, caring mama's boy?
I don't know. Mama told him to do it.
Yeah. Manziel's out there.
I want a little edge. I want a little edge. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. John, the Texans play the Jags this weekend. Of course, we'll get to the Texans in the next segment, but just focusing on the Jaguars for a second. If you had to guess this time next year, assuming health and everything, is Blake Bortles their quarterback next season?
In the last two games, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. During their streak of winning 5 of 6, 8 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. For the season, 16 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. If he can keep up that 2-to-1 ratio, it'd be the first time in his career he's had it. You know, they're plus 14 in turnovers. They plus 27 in sacks.
Yep.
And he's got a great running game. So everybody's so quick to get rid of him. You talk about being important from now on. You know, even if he plays well in regular season, what is he going to do in a playoff
right.
game? They got a good chance if the Patriots lose to the Steelers to get a bye in New England, having to play a wild card game. And so then I think then
go to Jacksonville.
Yeah, I think everything depends on what Bortles, how he plays in the postseason.
Okay.
I'm going to say yes, based on what he's done in recent games.
And they don't have to do anything long term with him because they exercised his 50-year
option. They got him another year.
Yeah.
New England at Jacksonville in the playoffs. You know, Coughlin has the formula.
How crazy would that be, right? How crazy.
If Brady's healthy, Patriots are not losing.
The I agree. The Steelers need this game more than the Patriots do.
Yes, no question.
They do. You know the Steelers have been in the playoffs 7 out of the last 10 years, I believe, and the 2 times they've made the Super Bowl is when they had a bye week. They need to be the 1 or 2 seed, I think, to get the whole way.
Patriots are the same way. They need to. It's not like when you played and y'all could win in Pittsburgh.
Last time Pittsburgh won a Super Bowl was the 1 year where Tom Brady played 8 minutes of football.
Yeah.
2008.
Yep.
There was that power vacuum in the AFC that year.
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
Watching the Steelers play those 2 nasty, physical, ugly games against Cincinnati and Baltimore, coming behind to win both games, you would think that they're physically beat up after those and now go against New England, but New England is beat up as well. Jacksonville is missing 1 starter.
Yeah.
Just like Tennessee. They've been incredibly healthy. Now, Fournette didn't practice this week because of an injury. Whether they hold him out or play him, nobody knows.
He was listed as questionable today, not out.
And so their health has been amazing, as has the Titans.
Yeah, their injury luck. I think it was like listening to you guys with you and Mark on Texans radio, John, saying, can you imagine if the Texans had 21 of their 22 starters, including their quarterback, healthy all year long, what the record
but
might
fire
look
Bill,
like.
But fire Bill O'Brien.
Right. Well, let's talk about that in the next segment.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.